Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford. With Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, guys are kind of sick of, like, certain narratives. So I think a lot of guys this offseason put in a lot of great work. And, you know, definitely, you know, just the team we have, we realize, you know, how special the group it is. And you never know when you're going to get these chances in the NFL. You know, everybody from coaches to players saying, you know, they've either had 0, 1, or 2, 10-win seasons. So it's definitely something special that we got right now, and we just want to make the most of it and not let anything slide.
Zach Allen of the Cardinals had a big highlight pick, talking about guys putting in the work, being sick of narratives. And they played like it yesterday, a 33-22 win for the Cardinals at Soldier Field in Chicago. They are 10-2. They are still atop the NFC. They maintain that edge over the Green Bay Packers, who had the week off, and a two-game edge over the Rams, who come into town a week from today. As we do on Big Red Monday, we open up the phone line, 602-260-9870, the phone number, and we'll go right out to the phones, out to the East Valley, and Gilbert Tom is up first here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. What's up, Tom?
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to be part of the greatest show in the history of radio.
Thank you, Tom.
And a fan of the only 10-win team in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. You are not mistaken.
So here's the one huge takeaway. The guys that made plays, the guys that showed up, that played big boy football, these are all homegrown players. I mean, if we take Hopkins is Hopkins, but that's a trade. Jordan Hicks, even though he couldn't compete for a starting position, has played really well. But the guys that showed up yesterday, they're all homegrown. The Byron Murphys are homegrown. So Jalen Thomas is a pick from a supplemental draft. Buda Baker is an all-pro. Zach Allen looks like he could grow into the next J.J. Watt if he, I don't know, could figure out how to score. This coaching staff deserves a tip of the cap. They've coached these guys up, and Steve Keim should be considered at least in the running for GM of the year. Thanks, guys. Hey,
you got
a
it, man. Yeah,
you,
I think Steve Keim is going to run away with GM of the year. I think Cliff Kingsbury's been passed, by the way, in coach of the year odds by Bill Belichick. He's the new favorite, and you can see why. Right?
Well, there's a lot of people who are going as far to say, for a guy whose resume is impeccable, that this might be Bill Belichick's best coaching job ever.
Especially if they win tonight, then
yes.
It's going to be in full on.
Hard.
Yeah,
it's annoying, but it's kind of hard to argue that he shouldn't be first right now.
Yeah, when you're doing this with Mac Jones, it's impossible to argue with it. And the way that he's got that defense tuned up, the way he turned over the roster. So, yeah, that's where that is right
now.
It
won't look as impressive 23 years from now when Mac Jones is still lighting the league up and Bill Belichick is still coaching at age 89 or whatever it is.
Right.
602-260-9870, the phone number. George is in Tempe. He's up next here on Big Red Monday. Hey, George.
Well, I'm telling you, the way to settle Coach of the Year is when they play in the Super Bowl and whoever wins
there
gets
you
Coach
go.
Of the Year.
All right.
Can you imagine Cliff Kingsbury facing Bruce Arians in the NFC Championship game? And then Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl?
Wow.
Sign me up for that.
There you go. So first of all, Buda Baker's got to be getting teased mercilessly in the locker room. First DK Metcalf, and then Andy Dalton. He should have scored on both of those. But, you know, this is an interesting game. It's kind of a weird game because we only had the ball for 25 minutes. And we dominated like that, obviously, because of the four interceptions. But we didn't have to do much on offense. And, you know, our secondary is doing a great job. But I'm still concerned about getting slashed by these particular type of running backs. And I see a loss coming, and I see the Colts beating us because Jonathan Taylor is going to eat us up. And we've got to figure out a way to stop that. So the only thing left in front of us is figuring out how to play well at home or, you know, petitioning the NFL to have the number one seed but still play our games away. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, as silly as that last thing sounds, that is the final frontier for this football team because they've got three high-profile home games coming up. One of the takeaways from yesterday is that David Montgomery is a really good running back, and he's lost in that Bears team. And that dreadful, dreadful offense of theirs, he is really solid.
Well, when they leaned on him, which they did a couple times on those drives, he delivered. Now, with Andy Dalton at quarterback know, Allen Robinson is out. I was not at all impressed with the Bears receivers yesterday. They didn't make life any easier for their quarterback. But, yeah, Montgomery is good. But, you know, to George's point, if you're looking ahead to the Christmas Day game, the Colts are rolling right now with Jonathan Taylor. He's the best running back in football right now, leading the league in rushing by a wide margin. The Cardinals have a recipe if they follow that recipe, and it's not like Carson Wentz is not alert. You know, he turns the ball over a lot too. Yeah. So if you can get those early turnovers again, but you know, we'll get into that Christmas week. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Rob's in Gilbert. He's up next here on Big Red Monday. Hey, Rob.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, I was really, really impressed with the defense. I don't think I've seen a defense in years with the young men throwing their bodies around with abandon like I have with the Cardinals and making really good things happen. I missed the first part of the show, but I'm really glad, Vic, that you pointed out that the refs blew that call and didn't give us a first down there down to the one.
Gotcha. Yeah, and it did come back to affect them, certainly. I got to go back and watch that again.
Okay.
But there was a lot of people that were bellyaching about it. And if that indeed happened, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I do also agree that the level of physicality and the guys looking to hit people, Byron Murphy, he got a penalty for going to helmet, but he was looking to jack people up. Isaiah Simmons came out on a guy and was quite literally throwing violent punches at the football.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing that a lot more.
Yeah.
By the way, the Byron Murphy helmet-to-helmet contact?
Yeah.
Did that not look like a shoulder blow to you?
No, I think they got the call right.
Do you?
He tried to lead with the shoulder, but the helmet got there at the same time. You've got to call that.
It's also the play in the moment. It was such like a violent boom hit.
Yeah.
That you're like, in the old days, you'd be like, oh, man, that's going to be on the highlights.
Yeah.
And these days, you're like, mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be a penalty.
That's going to come on the video that comes with my subscription to Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Yeah. Along with my football
and
phone.
And your isotoner gloves.
And your leather-bound Sports Illustrated right. edition.
Let's squeeze in another call. Julie is in Surprise here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hi, Julie.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy Cards Monday.
Yeah, same to you.
So happy for the defense catching those tipped footballs in the bad weather. I mean, usually they, you know what I mean? Also, were you surprised Kyler ran that much? His ankle must be 150%, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he was. He looked really fast to me, and clearly that was one of the takeaways, that Kyler Murray was 100% when he came back.
Yeah, 10 carries uh-huh. for 59 yards with some design stuff in there early, too.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Julie, I was surprised by that as well. I thought it would be, because of the weather, very conservative in terms of what Kyler did in the passing game, and we saw that. But I also thought, because out of caution,
mm-hmm.
and Cliff Kingsbury himself used the term over the weekend, we're being overly cautious with Kyler Murray in this return. There was no limitation on him in running the football, and he looked comfortable doing it. But that was by far his best running game of the year, I thought.
Listen, Peter King even pointed out just how goofy the Bears' defense was, because so many times, and he noticed this, he put this out in his column this morning, that he sees Kyler Murray play action and go right. He said every single time the defense falls for it, why has an opposing defense not anchored that left end and say, contain? So, yeah, that's whatever. It's. I thought that was entertaining.
The league-wide adjustment against Kyler Murray will be credited to Peter King.
Might be. Yeah, well, I guarantee you, smart football coaches will do that.
Yep. Thanks for the phone calls. Appreciate it on this Big Red Monday. Julie brought it up. The defense forcing turnovers and the offense cashing in on those turnovers. We'll get into that aspect of the Cardinals' latest win over the Bears next. It is Big Red Monday. We're coming to you live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
We always preach one play at a time, and, the weather conditions, it was very, pretty slippery out there. It was raining. We knew the ball was going to be up in the air. We knew, some guys might not catch the ball all the way because of the rain, so as DBs, as a defense, we're just trying to get to the ball, and that just shows everyone's mentality to get to the football.
Buda Baker, he had the interception, 77-yard return, led to Cardinals points yesterday, one of four turnovers, and not to belabor a point, but it's so strange when you think about it, Bic, and Buda Baker talking about the conditions, and obviously the conditions on a couple of those picks really affect where the conditions affected the performance of receivers.
Oh, without a doubt.
And if you figure if receivers aren't making catches in those conditions, why would defensive players do it? And they did it.
Well, yes, they did do it. One of the giveaways was from Cole Kmet, whose father I actually covered in high school.
Really?
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny, his name was Frank Kmet.
His name was Haley's?
No. Kmet? No. Oh, that's funny. His name was Frank. He played at a suburban high school, and he was one of the most physically imposing high school football players I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
Went to Purdue, blew out his leg, couldn't make an NFL team. The Bears gave him a lifeline. But in the middle of a season, they pushed Tom Thayer out. And they had Frank Kmet switch positions. You're going to play the offensive line. Jim Harbaugh is the quarterback. He rolls in at Christmas time and gives Rolexes to every member of the offensive line. Frank Kmet's there going, I don't deserve this. I just got in this room. I've been a defensive player the whole year. Oh, no, you Merry Christmas. Keep it. Jim Harbaugh. Okay, great. Tom Thayer calls him the next day. Dude, you stole my watch.
Did Tom get the watch back?
There's a Cole Kmet-related story you did not think you were going to hear today.
I was going to hear that. Here's a little Tom Thayer trivia for you.
Okay.
Former member of the Arizona Wranglers of the USFL.
How about that? I did not know that.
That team that went to the championship game in 1984.
Real good dude. I look at this and the defense yesterday, you can argue, did they play well? Are they still susceptible to being manhandled on the line of scrimmage? I think the answer to that is yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think what was also on display yesterday is this team's big playability. They've got guys that rise up and make these kind of plays when absolutely necessary. Now, it's easier to do against a guy like Andy Dalton, but at the same time, they took advantage of what was given to them, and not a lot of defenses do that. And those four turnovers, I mean, that was the football game.
Yeah, 24 points right there. And we had a caller bring up the fact too. You look at the offensive numbers, and you're like, wow, they only had the ball for 25 minutes. They only had 250 some odd yards of offense. Mm-hmm. But when you're playing with those short fields like they were early in that game and capitalizing on the Cardinals' first three possessions, this is not a stat that anybody keeps. But you have to consider what percentage of the available yards to you are you getting. So those first two touchdown drives were both short because of the turnovers, but they got 100% of the yardage that they could have got on those first three drives, including that third touchdown drive, the 74-yarder. So it was efficient. And again, when your defense is setting you up, you have to take advantage of it. DJ Humphreys talked about that after the game with Paul Calvisi on the Cards Radio Network about capitalizing off those early turnovers.
When the defense gives you two early interceptions, it gives you two short fields.
I mean, with the offense that we got, with our defense playing like the way that they are, you give us two short fields like that in the first quarter. I feel like we had no choice but to go out there and capitalize on it, man. Our defense put us in a great position in that first quarter to get up so easy.
Yeah, and I really think that the Cardinals, from top to bottom, pride themselves on that type of performance in those conditions, because that was a talking point nationally about the Cardinals, and some people said, this is a dome team from the West Coast. I know you wrote about the elimination of pretty boy football in a game like that. But Jordan Hicks talked about it, about proving those people wrong about winning in those conditions.
It proves to those people who say that wrong. At the end of the day, it's the focus is never on the conditions, right? It's on the game and it's on what we need to do. And so, for us, it's just go 1-0 this week. That's what it was all about.
It's everything I said going in,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to be rough to shake off the lethargy of the bye week over the holidays. It's going to be even rougher to summon that kind of will to play in that kind of weather unless you really are hardcore, unless you really want to. And they did. They answered that question very, very emphatically.
Yeah, and again, when you get past so you had the bye, you had the injuries, the absences, obviously, of Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins for so long. So you get past the bye, you welcome them back. And now, look, the LA Rams got back in the win column yesterday, and you know, it was a decisive victory over Jacksonville. That's going to be a desperate football team that comes in here next Monday. You know, I described it on something that I wrote for ArizonaSports.com on the Rapid Reaction, is the Cardinals have an opportunity to deliver a death blow.
Oh, they do?
In week 14 to the team that is closest to them in the division. I think that's going to be talked about a lot going in, especially after, you know, the Cardinals dominated the Rams in L.A., and that's not a franchise that they've had success against.
No.
But this team, the more we see of this team, and when you get a win like that yesterday, they just look like they're cut from a different cloth from other Cardinals teams in the past.
And so it's one thing to do this against Andy Dalton. I saw this stat. This blew my mind. Yesterday was the fifth four-interception game of his 150-game career. Five times he's thrown four interceptions in a game.
I wonder how that compares to others, though.
I don't know.
But they did bring that up at the end.
Yeah. That and the fact
can
that...
Can I ask this question, by the way?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off there. Justin Fields wasn't dressed yesterday, and Nick Foles was all bundled up in the parka on the side. How bad is Nick Foles if he can't get playing time over
Andy
Dalton? I don't understand.
Yeah, either do I.
Won't even give him a chance after they've already seen Andy Dalton so much this season? I don't get it. Especially because the Bears were still technically... you know, in the playoff hunt for that wild card.
Yeah, and for a guy who's really kind of defined his career by being that guy to come off the bench and give a team a lift, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
We've heard from a lot of Chicago people that Matt Nagy is a really fundamentally good guy. I more than ever am convinced he promised the starting job to Andy Dalton. More than ever. Because that just doesn't make sense.
That makes sense in September,
I guess.
It's December now.
Well, he also knows that Andy Dalton is not going to be in Chicago next year.
Well, he also knows he's not going to be in Chicago.
That's true.
Again next year.
That is also true.
Which makes the sticking with Dalton that much more curious.
For a roommate, I guess.
Vince, going back to that stat you just had about Andy Dalton, according to StatMuse.com, Jameis Winston, since the year 2015, has had the most games with 4-plus intercepted passes, six. Six games for Jameis Winston from 2015 on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's from 2015. Goodness.
Yeah.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on the big stories of the day. Sarah's got them for you in the Rush Hour Reboot. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Code Red.
Yes, attention Cardinal fans, we told you about it last week and it's here. It's time for our first Code Red qualifier. We are looking for Keith Semkin from Queen Creek. Keith, you've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to Cardinals-Rams Monday night. If Keith does not call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to someone else. But right now, we are starting the clock on Keith Semkin from Cave Creek. You can still win by texting RED to 620-620. Listen for your name at 12:30 and 4:30 today.
Keith Semkin only.
Keith Semkin only from Queen Creek.
From Queen Creek,
602-260-9870.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
All right, welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot, everyone. Here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, every day at 7:30, we get you caught up with the big stories of the day. Sarah Cazell, Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, and Jarrett Carlin taking you through the storylines. I thought you said Cave Creek. Is it Queen Creek, Vince?
Queen Creek.
Queen Creek.
All right. Cave Creek represent, but just not this time.
Okay. Keith Semkin from Queen Creek.
Only. Right.
Yes. Yes. Literally just that guy. Please. All right. Cardinals. 10-2 now. Only 10 win team, rather. better not be a 10-win season. In the NFL right now with a 33-22 win over the Chicago Bears. Definitely an easier self-back-in kind of game after the bye against a lower-tier opponent. And that included Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins easing themselves back in after playing for the first time in several weeks. So, Dan and Vince, what did you guys think about how Kyler and DeAndre Hopkins looked specifically after being away with injury?
I don't know what to say about DeAndre Hopkins. He looked good on that touchdown reception. But I think that that was a very, very important mark that he put on the game. And I, for one, I thought Kyler Murray performed very well given the limitations with the weather. Mm. So I think that he made big things happen on a day when it was clear he was going to struggle throwing the football.
Yeah, I agree with Bick on Hopkins. You know, not a lot to choose from, but he made his mark on the game with that catch to open the scoring. And for me, the running, Kyler Murray's ability to run the football 59 yards on 10 carries, they featured it. Maybe that was out of necessity, but he delivered. And that's a really good sign moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of Kyler Murray and his ability to move around, he talked about that after the game. He was asked, how does his ankle feel? How did he feel moving around on it?
Yeah, I felt good. You know, I tested out pregame. And that, you know, that gave me the confidence. I knew I was fine, knew I was good. And, you know, they gave me pull reads. So it was for me, like, you know, I kind of had to. I don't know how many times I ran the ball to there, how many yards, but I felt good when I took off. So
he ran it 10 times for 59 yards. Mm-hmm. There you go, Kyler. So I'm asking, which number from yesterday is most significant to you guys? Is it 59 yards rushing on 10 carries for Kyler, including two touchdowns on the ground, clearly signifying his ankle is back? 23 points on turnovers for the Cardinals defense. 35 degrees and 10 mile per hour winds from Soldier Field, or 7-0, a perfect record on the road through 13 weeks.
I'm going with the last one. 7-0, seven double digit victories on the road. It's very rare to see a team handle the road like this. I haven't seen anybody enjoy being away from home this much since George Clooney and Up in the Air, Babe.
Wow.
Wow, I wasn't sure how that was going to land, you did it.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that are the turnovers. I think the turnovers were very
23
good.
Points,
yeah.
Four turnovers, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty solid, especially two in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself up 14 zip. Yeah, a lot of good stuff to pull from there. Let's quickly go to college football. The college football playoff set yesterday. All the bowl game matchups came out yesterday as well. Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati in that order. That is your college football playoff. Cincy, the first ever Group of Five team to make the playoff in the 8-year history of the CFP. Here is Luke Fickell, the head coach of Cincinnati, saying they deserve their spot there.
Why is this team deserving of playing in a college football playoff?
Because they've done everything they've been asked to do. We weren't worried about that. We wanted to win a championship. And I kept telling them, said, you take care of the stuff on the field. Everything else take care of itself. This is a really good football team. It deserves everything.
Okay, again, Alabama 1, Michigan 2, Georgia 3, Cincinnati 4. Did the committee get this right?
Yeah, like Vinny said, there really wasn't really any options. I being the forever the skeptic, was still kind of wondering if they were going to have struggle with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's up on Cincinnati to make good with this opportunity. They can hang with the Alabama team I've seen most of the season. That team didn't play Georgia on Saturday. That was a different Alabama
team.
Look,
yeah.
Alabama looked fantastic, but can we start to question the lofty defensive numbers put up by Georgia all year?
Well,
they didn't play anybody.
Of course, yeah. Listen,
they were in the SEC, Vinny.
Jarrett.
They played such powerhouses as Vanderbilt.
That was on a T for you there, Jarrett. Yeah, listen.
Tennessee.
They were talking about that team like it was the greatest defensive line of all time.
Yeah, they had 300. Alabama had 365 yards in the first half.
In the first half. Yeah, well, listen, that quarterback for Alabama went out and won himself a Heisman over the weekend. He was sensational.
You're right, though, Dan. the committee had no choice. It was the perfect storm for
Cincinnati. Even
because the only other team possible was Notre Dame, who Cincinnati beat head-to-head.
And if it was a one-loss Notre Dame team and that loss was to anybody
else,
they would have got the nod
over
Cincinnati.
You're right about that. But see, the thing that I was hung up on is the committee already ran that scenario out there of Michigan being ranked ahead of Michigan State, even though Michigan State had the head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember that I was like, okay, that's a sign. That's a sign that they're about to do something.
Notre
nefarious.
Dame didn't beat anybody good this year, though. Also, that worked.
Yeah.
True. And by the way, Michigan is going to beat Georgia.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Well, Notre Dame, speaking of, they come to the Valley with the Fiesta Bowl playing Oklahoma State. So we'll have that in the Valley coming up pretty soon here. As for ASU, Las Vegas Bowl against Wisconsin. Any enthusiasm for this bowl game? How do you guys feel about that placement?
In a word, no. None.
No.
Absolutely
none.
Zero.
Yeah, I'm with Vinny on that. Absolutely zero.
Might watch it.
Might. What? Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes. I told you.
That's one frustrated Sun Devil fan right there.
I love college football, but I'm mad at it. I love ASU football, but I'm mad at it.
It takes us four seasons to get to 8 wins. I don't know what you guys are complaining about.
Well, the Vegas Bowl is not the Rose Bowl. We do know that. All right. Final question. Suns, Spurs tonight in downtown Phoenix. In case you missed it over the weekend, the Suns win streak ended at 18 games against the Warriors on Friday. Here is the head coach, Monty Williams, after the game, kind of talking about his takeaways from that 18-game win streak.
To me, it was the collective focus that we've had throughout this season, not just the streak. I mean, it's only been, 23 games, right? So there's a lot of basketball to be played. But when we were 1-3 or whatever it was, there was no, panic or what are we doing? We just kind of hung in there and simplified some things and played good basketball.
All right, Dan and Vince, final question for you. How would you like to eulogize the Suns' 18-game win streak?
It was fun while it lasted. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the last long winning streak this team has this year. The scenario that we projected actually happened. They beat Detroit. They got the record. They had to play in San Francisco the next night against a team that, was licking its wounds a little bit in Golden State. And they were the better team on Friday night. But, I'm not that crushed about it. I will say this, though. And a lot of the Warriors fans are making this so. All I want for Christmas this year is for the Suns to beat the Warriors by 40 points on Christmas Day. That's all I want.
Klay Thompson will be back.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Why the sudden hate towards Golden State?
Their fans are insufferable.
Oh, okay.
They have turned it up a notch this season, I've noticed.
I look at this, and I look at that winning streak, and what I'll remember about it, it was historic while not always looking historic. This wasn't like the Suns were playing out of their minds for 3.5 weeks.
Right.
This was just winning, 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 and inside it were a handful of really good triumphs, but all of it in some, it was just a basketball team that's better than everybody.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Maybe we're just better.
Yeah, right, right.
There's kind of a theme going on in Phoenix sports right now. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
There's the Rush Hour Reboot. We do it every morning at 7:30. Keith Semkin has not called. He's down to his last 15 seconds, so it's looking pretty bleak. But we'll give him the full 10 minutes, as we're legally obligated to do. But be near your phones
Isn't
if Keith does not call.
Isn't it funny how Vinny just times this all the time? Shouldn't you be the one timing this? No.
Shouldn't Jerry? Nah. Don't get me started. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk about the Cardinals. Win number 10 over Chicago. We'll be joined by Howard Balzer from the All Cardinals site on SI.com. That's next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford with Bickley and Murata.
Real quick, no Keith Semkin. Didn't call. Here's your opportunity. Need a caller number, Bick.
Caller number 4, Vinny.
Caller 4 right now, 602-260-9870. You will jump into those seats that have been vacated by Keith Semkin as we call out for a code red. Again, caller 4, 602-260-9870. on this Big Red Monday. Cardinals beat the Bears to move to 10-2. Joining us to talk about it from the All Cardinals site at SI.com, Howard Balzer checks in on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, I'm caller four.
Hello. Yeah, I'm sure you are.
I think you're going to be at that game anyway, Howard, on Monday night. What stood out most to you? We've hit a lot of the details of the game, and obviously it was a very workmanlike performance in bad weather by the Cardinals, but what was the single thing that stood out most to you about this win from a positive?
Well, certainly from the positive, just getting Murray and Hopkins back was big, even though Kyler didn't have to throw the ball that much. But, you know, really the thing that stood out were the interceptions, which when you look at them, you can say, well, how many were really Cardinals defense? I mean, a couple tip balls by players, one tip ball by Chandler Jones, of course, a great read by Zach Allen. You really wonder without those and the unbelievable field position they provided, what would have been the result of this game? Because, you know, I hear a lot of the positives of people. Oh my God! What a great job by the defense! Tremendous job by the defense! And what I saw was another inability to stop the run. Uh-huh. And I think that could be a problem coming down the stretch, depending obviously on who you play. But you know, overall, this team just finds a way to win. We know that the turnovers and the takeaways, I should say, are pretty dramatic. And the real positive, guys, on the offense is that no turnovers. I mean, they're on a historic streak right now of five consecutive road games without a turnover. And there's only four teams in history that have done that. Two have five in a row in a season, two have six. And when you do that, well, you're going to win a lot of games mm-hmm. just by virtue of it. But, you know, I still think there's – you know, you don't want to go overboard and say there's red flags and concerns and all that. But you know, guys, that a huge part of the discussion this week, aside from the division, aside from mm-hmm. the Rams, is can the Cardinals play well at home? And that is still a big thing because, as I mentioned, those turnovers, they have nine turnovers in the five home games. And yeah. only four takeaways. Mm-hmm. And that's a big reason why they're 3-2 in those games instead of doing as well as they're doing on the road.
All right, so let's dive in that a little bit deeper because I do think that is the one takeaway that those turnovers really sort of negated, and that was another ground game appearing to gash the Cardinals and the Cardinals getting away with it because they were able to jump to a commanding lead and Andy Dalton's the quarterback of the other team. What are the issues as far as you see them schematically, talent-wise? How do they get this shored up?
Well, you know, it's a great question because we hear it every week from Vance Johnson or Vance Joseph when we talk about it is, well, you know, it's about gap integrity. It's about better tackling. It's all that. We heard Jordan Hicks say after the game yesterday, oh, it's about better tackling. Well, yeah, we know that's what it's about, but consistently it's not being done. And, you know, we saw a certain amount of plays yesterday where Montgomery didn't have a lot of running room, but he was still able to get a bunch of extra yards because of tackling. So, I remember after the Carolina game when Christian McCaffrey gashed this defense, and whenever it was asked about, it was always about, well, it's about execution. It's about this. Well, yeah, we know it is, but you've got to execute better. Now, with the Rams, they're not a great running team, so that might not be as front and center, but it still is something that you have to wonder about and come out and just play better at home, take care of the football and all those things. That was a big subject after Carolina also. We heard the same thing. Well, it's about execution. Well, but why aren't you executing better against the run? Why aren't you executing better at home? And so those are tough questions to answer because it's just happening.
Howard Balzer from the All Cardinals site on SI.com, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Bick and I talked about it a little bit, and maybe it seems nitpicky, talking about this on an 11-point road win, seventh straight road win, by the way. But I thought some of the play calling, especially, you know, the play that stood out to me was the Wildcat play with James Conner, going to that twice down by the goal line. What did you make of Cliff Kingsbury's offensive play calling as a whole yesterday, Howard?
Yeah, I thought overall there were some things I scratched my head at and said, why are you doing that? But there was some time management at the end of the first half, which was kind of baffling. But I said, you know, it was funny. I'm watching a game with some people, and I said, this is Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's, you know, you take the good with the bad sometimes, because his aggressiveness is what has gotten this team where they are, but sometimes that aggressiveness backfires on them. And so, yeah, I mean, and he admitted afterward that, well, maybe you shouldn't have went with the wild card there in the goal line. It's, you know, it's a good play to use from now and then, but short yardage, I mean, if you can't get in from the 1 yard line with just a conventional play, then you really wonder about it. And they've been pretty good. I mean, James Conner had a lot of touchdowns prior to this in, you know, from the 1 yard line. All his rushing touchdowns are in the red zone, but he didn't get it on third down. And I think all of a sudden at that point, Kingsbury said, well, let's try something else. Oh, let's go back to the Wildcat. And obviously it backfired. So, but yeah, I thought there were some issues there. But like I said, I think sometimes that's what comes with the way Cliff Kingsbury calls that offense overall. Most of the time there's more good than some of these that we wonder about and question.
What did you make of Isaiah Simmons' performance yesterday?
I thought it was solid. You know, I don't know that there was, you know, except for the interceptions, I don't know that there's anybody that was, you know, that was truly great on defense. He seemed to be trailing some plays, you know, a couple times, and you know, one time was looked like he wasn't where he should have been, and so I think it was just, like I said, I think it was a solid performance, but I wouldn't rate it as a great one. But you know, it's tough too watching on TV to really see a lot of individual guys and see what they did.
Right.
But you know, he's a player that continues to ascend, and he's obviously going to be a big part of this team coming down the stretch on that defense. But you know, play better. And again, I think that run defense, you know, hey, we could all remember back to how Zaven Collins was going to be the answer to so much, and he played three snaps.
Yeah,
he played three snaps, and so you know, perhaps there just has to be some other things done with that run defense that has jumped up and hurt them at, you know, at certain times. But when you win games, it's kind of overlooked a little bit, but it's still, as we've been saying, it still is an issue.
Yeah, great point. Howard, thanks so much for the time. As always, we appreciate it. Have a great day.
Same to you guys. Take care. Thank you.
Howard Balzer, SI.com, the All-Cardinals site. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Phone lines are still ringing. We do have our winner. Caller number 4 was Garrett Odell. Garrett's going to the game
on
Monday.
Shut up, Garrett.
Odell Garrett Jr. No, Garrett Odell is going to the game. But be listening, 12:30 and 4:30. You're going to have two more opportunities to listen for your name. And if you haven't entered yet, just text the word RED to 620-620 and get entered in our Code RED for Cardinals-Rams on Monday night. Coming up next, Bick starts the second half of the show with a Victory Monday blast. It's next, Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.